Okay, Curb Appeal, we're back, and we've got an exciting guest. One of our most interesting guests, I would say, today, especially since you're part of the Roxo Media family. Jake, thank you for being here with us today. A crime show.
Yep.
Not foreign to the podcast world. We know that. But very interesting because you're based in Fort Worth. So Lizzie and I were discussing all before we started with you. But kind of go into it a little bit. Tell everyone about yourself and about your show and how it kind of came about.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a retired police officer in Fort Worth. I retired earlier this year after 22 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy retirement.
Thanks. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I left the job. I mean, I retired, but I moved on to do something different. So, like I said, I was there 22 years, spent most of my career in undercover assignments, like narcotics, vice kind of stuff. Had a little run through internal affairs as a detective.
That's where you met Lizzie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the narcotics.
Yep.
I knew you guys had met before.
Weird circumstances,
here we are.
Dang it. Sorry, my mom and dad didn't know about that. I guess they do now.
Yeah,
sorry.
They will in episode 4.
Yes. Yeah. So after retiring, so my partner on Signal 51 Chronicles, the podcast, John Henry, he's a longtime journalist from Fort Worth, and like many good things, it was born over a drink, if you will. Yeah. We were at our favorite watering hole, Oscar's Pub, and we talked. It's on Campbell.
I've never
been. We've been by it before. We should go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I may be there.
Well, yeah, no, we'll meet you there.
There you go. So, we're just up there. I mean, talking like we always do, telling stories like we always do. And we're talking about whatever he's writing about or whatever I was involved with at the time. And the idea was floated. I said, hey, we should do a true crime podcast. I'm not like, I had no idea the popularity of these true crime podcasts.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't know what we were getting into. I just thought, we're just storytellers and this will be kind of fun. Right. So he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So as luck would have it, I've been friends with Brenton from Fortitude for a long time. I float the idea to him. He's like, oh, dude, that'd be a great idea.
So Brenton.
That's my Brenton impersonation. I know. I've got it down perfectly. So the idea was born. So we start basically coming up with these different stories that we want to cover.
But that they're true. Like they happened here.
They happened here.
Yeah.
So it's Fort Worth and around.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
hey, very cool.
Picture Tarrant County. I think that's probably the best way. So we create this long list of stories and we start diving into it and we're like, oh, this one's a good one and this one's a good one. And there's a lot of really good ones, right? So the first one, we released three weeks ago, it's a 2-part series. And in that I do think this is important. One of the things that we're focusing on is, you know, I like to say, we're not just getting up there telling ghost stories, right? We're not just trying to scare people. Yeah. One of the things that's important to us is we do want there to be a lesson, right? And we do want there to be an educational component to it. So the first one centered around a case of domestic violence and that had a tragic ending. It had a lot of crazy twists and turns throughout. And in that one, the theme is you step into the interrogation room with the detective as he interviews somebody who's suspected of taking another person's life. And like I said, the twists and turns on it are unreal. But at the end of the day, it's tragic, right? I mean, somebody lost their life. I mean, that's, you know, I think that there was, you know, maybe some steps that could have been taken somewhere in between. I think one of the other things to focus on is the fact that, and one of the things we talk about is if you know somebody in one of those situations or scenarios, whether it's friend, family, something like that, don't just stand on the sidelines, right? And hope that things will get better and hope that, oh, I'm sure that he or she, or, you know, they're going to recognize that this is bad and they're going to do something different. Because that's not always the case. And that wasn't the case in this one.
Wow.
And then the next one is, how are we phrasing it? It's going to be an iconic Fort Worth business and a heroic Fort Worth cop, how their paths cross.
Okay.
So
I remember I heard you talking about this in one of the meetings.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, that's going to be.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Yeah. And that one should be released next Thursday.
Okay.
That's what we're shooting for.
Ooh. Yeah. So when this airs, it'll be next week. So it'll be the same week. But I know as you've been recording, sorry, chime in Chestnut over there. Anytime, go ahead, chime in. But I know.
No, I'm not. I'm on the edge of my seat, Chestnut, today.
I'm really, though, because that's how it is with like crime shows, too. Like, they are wildly popular podcasts. But even if you think back to like on Netflix, like Making a Murder, I think that was on Netflix, or Making of a Murder, and like all those. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many friends that will sit there and like watch so many crime shows. But with that being said, as like these stories unfold, are you kind of like, I can't believe like I actually lived this. Like, I can't believe like I went through some of these stories, because I know some you're digging back up, but some you're like, this was my career for 22 years.
Yeah. So it is kind of, you know, one of the stories that we're doing is a case that I worked in, without revealing too much. It's the, you know, right now we look in society and there's this gigantic issue with the opioid overdoses and that crisis that's going on, and that's a for real problem. And but it's been here for a while. I mean, we're going to go back about 10 years and look at four kids from the area who lost their life to their addiction, and kind of go take the listener on the trail to get to the guys who were ultimately responsible for selling it.
So you were able to figure out, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's, I'm trying to, so, you know, like, so again, going back to starting this, we didn't know the popularity of these.
Yeah.
We're just storytellers, and that's all we were doing. So here we are.
But there, it's just, you're storytellers, but it's like, I don't know, your crime
It's
solvers.
Real.
Yeah, it's real.
It's real life.
Yeah.
It's real life. And it's right in our backyard, which for some people, you, I know Tarrant County, but sometimes, I mean, I do think Fort Worth is such a great and safe city, and I know it is, but it's interesting to hear some of the stories that I know that you have to tell that are going to be all a part of season one. It's like, wait, that happened here? You know? It's weird to think that.
Yeah. I've got a question. Yeah. What's it like being a detective? And why did you choose that? Because I feel like there's, you know, when you ask little kids what they want to do, they'll say, I want to be a policeman or a detective. Yeah. Yeah. But what in your life, or how did you decide to follow that career path? If you don't mind me asking.
So I don't know.
Question.
I mean, I don't know, like, if there was any, like, pinnacle moment. I don't know if there was one event or one person.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
I think I just kind of ended up there, right?
Yeah.
And then, so you asked, like, from the detective job, what's it like being a detective? As a whole, it's pretty boring, right? It's a lot of paperwork. You're not out like chasing bad guys down.
Yeah.
You're
not
doing
like the
reports.
Movies.
No, it's not like the movies.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Sorry.
But so. You're able to help people and create organization behind.
Yeah, yeah, like, for sure. I mean, and
you're trying to reduce chaos in the world.
And sometimes things are complex, right? So those are fun, where the cases are complex, where you have, you know, you might have multiple suspects, or, you know, like a series of crimes all wrapped up into one, you know, so all the twists and turns
and
that can
time,
follow, that's interesting.
And like time affects it all too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
100%. Stories change over time, all these things. That's gotta be super interesting. And I'm sure you have a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, yeah, there's quite a few.
So how do you pick which stories you're gonna tell?
We don't really have a method to our madness with that. We just go through the one. I think we're doing, like, in large part, we're trying to tell the stories that have not been told. That's one of the things that we're also focusing on. So, you know, I don't, there's not really a method to the madness in terms of which ones we're doing. We just do the ones that we find interesting and the ones we can get information on.
Yeah. How do you get information?
So a lot of times, you know, most things are subject to an open records request. So the city's, you know, we'll provide it. You know, some like old newspaper stories, old news stories, things like that.
Okay, cool.
Are you able to tell any of the stories on the podcast, the show that you were involved with?
Yeah, one of our bigger stories is going to be just that. It was a case that I worked.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow,
man, I can't. I'm just like, tell us now.
Yeah, and we're like, you can go ahead and share the story now. It's fine. You don't need to wait until your
it'll,
show.
It'll be good. We're excited for it.
Well, and speaking of that, was there ever a moment in your career, and there might have been, it's twofold, right? Was there a moment where you're like, okay, this is why I do this? Where's there that moment? And then was there a moment where you were like, man, maybe I should stop doing this?
Yeah, so there's a lot of moments of this is why I do this. I mean, probably more than I can count, and it's hard for me to cite one. Mm-hmm. And then there was a moment, you know, I left early. I mean, the moment was like literally woke up and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in me. I mean, and you have to have passion like any other job. And once I lost that passion.
You're putting your life on the line too. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
That's pretty amazing.
Every time. And that's the biggest thing. I think it's, now it's kind of exciting, like for us to sit here and anybody who's listening, and it's exciting for you to even tell these stories. But while you were living a lot of the stories that you did, you wouldn't describe it as exciting, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. The excitement does wear off too, right? I mean, the things that, you know, it wears off ultimately. It becomes a job to where it's like, I remember when this was fun and now it's a job.
Yeah. Speak a little more about your partner who hosts, your co-host on the show.
Legendary writer, John Henry. Longtime journalist here in Fort Worth. Editor, jack of all trades, probably the best writer. I mean, and that's one of the cool things that we have is I can kind of give him the story and he puts it on paper and like seeing... Mm-hmm. It always intrigues me watching him, like me tell him a story, him put it on paper and seeing what that finished product looks like. I mean, it's phenomenal to see it. It's a cool, you know, I mean, it's a skill set that he has. I mean, he's a storyteller and a great writer. So, like I said, I do like seeing that.
Did you guys work together a lot when you were a detective?
I
was going to say...
We might have had a few drinks together over the years, but that was about it.
I was going to say, because I would think for you, maybe a journalist wouldn't be your best friend, probably.
Yeah, no, you know, I never really got too into, like, getting wrapped up so much into, like, the whole cop thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that was a job, and then you have a life outside of that, mm-hmm. and so, yeah.
What was the most taxing thing about being a detective and a cop?
The hours, because they're all over the map, right? Like there's not necessarily a set schedule. You may go to work at 10 o'clock in the morning, think, hey, I'm going to come home at 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night. Next thing you know, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and you're still going and you're going for 24 hours, 30 hours, something like that. The hours for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break real quick. We're going to grab a drink because, you know, I think if we get you to drink, maybe you'll just share one of your whole shows right now. We'll solve the case and it'll be great. So we'll be right back.
On her new video podcast show, Curb Appeal, TV personality Kirby Schnoor talks about everything that appeals to her most with her best friend and City Boots owner and founder, Lizzie Bentley. Joined by their friends and special guests, they cover fashion, food, music, art, and Western culture while giving you a behind-the-scenes look at their lives, favorite places, and things to do in Fort Worth. Curb Appeal drops new episodes weekly at curbappealshow.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Curb Appeal is a Roxo Media House production.
Okay, we're just talking with Jake about all things Signal 51 Chronicles. Is that how you pronounce it properly? That's what I thought. But yeah, it's a cool show that's a part of Roxo Media House Group along with Curb Appeal. Obviously, our shows are a little different. You're kind of like a hero.
Yeah.
We're just, I don't know.
We're sitting here. We're sitting here getting ready, and he's just kind of laughing. I'm like, is this a little different than you guys? I'm like, how does my dress look?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
You're like, okay, I've got real stuff to tell you guys.
Ours is usually like scurrying in here like, all right, you ready to do this? You know, because we come up here on the weekends and do it, and it's like sometimes dragging in here, I suppose. I don't want to. I mean, we put effort into it, so I don't want
to... Well, you guys have cool stories to tell. So,
yeah,
I know you put effort into it, but again, it's just like, it's just kind of been your daily for years.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that, I don't want to say I don't recognize that or you know, discount that. I mean, like I said, the stories, and I've called, you know, I'll call John sometimes as we're going through a story, and I'm like, dude, you are not going to believe this, man. Like these bombshells that come up that I'm like, man, I mean, I was a cop for 22 years. I don't think it should fascinate me that much, but it does, right? I mean, it's really cool. And the other thing that happens, though, like and I might have mentioned it, was we peel back one layer and there's 10 more layers to every story. And so, you know, he's an investigative journalist. I was a cop. Well, guess what? When you get 10 more layers, you're like, I'm diving into all 10 layers.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't put the, I can't put a Band-Aid on that and move forward. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that, that does make it fun, that we do. Like, you know, it is fun sitting down and like putting the story together and trying to get answers. I mean,
it's so good that you're not a girl, and especially in this era, in this day and age, because like you would have been that girlfriend that would have found out everything about their boyfriend because you would have peeled back the layers. So you would have been on the internet, you would have known exactly.
I think guys do that too. Oh, they probably maybe do. He did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, I was too busy doing that in other people's lives. I didn't have time.
Yeah, that's yeah. Probably true. Yes.
Oh, that's so great. Okay. I know. So we've covered what you've recorded thus far. And again, I think that's another thing. I know you've worked closely with our producer, Holly of Curb Appeal, and she does so much.
Awesome.
Rocks the Media House, but she's waving back there. We're going to get her on camera one day. But she's so fascinated and enthralled by your all show. But she's like, okay, guys, let's like put another one out. But I know it's because you guys, when you guys are doing a show, it just, you keep pulling back the layers and it's like, there's so much to the show now other than just the original story at hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is, you know, talking with Holly, that's one of the things where she puts the pressure on us a little bit. But again, we go back and it's like, whoa, like I can't move forward with this story until I get, you know, these two or three questions answered. And sometimes that takes time, right? Yeah. Like sometimes we can't just find the answer. So, like I said, that's one of the other fascinating parts is, you know, trying to like dig in and, you know, I mean, let's face it, I'm not here, you know, solving a case, although that would be kind of cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But, you know, like, I mean, just going through like kind of reliving that stuff, but then having somebody, you know, it's weird. John's perspective is similar yet different, right? I mean, as a journalist, I mean, he has a knack for investigating, but his is like, I want to put this on paper and tell a really cool story.
Mm-hmm. Right? Have you guys ever been in the middle of a story or what you're doing now and kind of both had different like takes on it or outlooks on it and like, wait, do you think it went this way or should it went? I mean,
no, not necessarily. Okay. I wouldn't say that. But what I would say, I think we play off of that to a certain degree. Like he will see things that I don't see or vice versa.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, you know, and you can talk, I mean, anybody who was a cop for a long time or, you know, just any of those high stress jobs, you become kind of numb to things, right?
You're so desensitized, I bet.
Completely desensitized. So I'm like, I don't think that, I mean, I didn't find it that interesting. He's like, dude, that's a very fascinating part of the story. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, if you think it is. And
you're both asking questions, but you're asking questions for different reasons, which is interesting. So he's asking questions to understand the story, and you're asking questions really also to understand what's the truth or the story. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's what I was saying. That's where it's interesting because I think, you know, his background is very similar. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the end product was what was different.
Yeah.
One was a story and one was, in theory, a bad guy going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But the steps to get there are about the same.
Interesting.
Have you come across a story yet or in your 22 years in the force, were there people that you knew that you were like, oh, wait, I know them. I'm friends with them. Or you knew a family now if you're reliving some of these stories or going through them. You're like,
are you trying to talk about me again?
No, I'm not. I'm just like... We'll get to you. We'll get to your story later.
Geez.
No, but I'm like, that's always, I think that would be surprising to me. It's like, or I knew that family, or I've heard of that family, or some distant connection. Yeah.
So you know, I mean, Fort Worth is a gigantic small town.
Yes.
Right.
Everyone says that.
And it is. I mean, that's true. So in terms of like friends or family, no. But what does happen, the way Fort Worth is structured or historically was structured, cops work the same area, right? So you got to know the people in that area. And I worked a particular area and I got to know the people in that area. And then as I progressed through my career, went down these different mm-hmm. career paths, you know, some, I walk a fine line because I don't, you know, this crime stuff, it's real and life yeah. is real. And
it's
I don't
sensitive
want
to people too.
Well, and I don't want to expose some of the people who, let me put it like this. So there are people in this city who, and across this country who grew up with these in, just incredibly sad backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, it's a very unfortunate part of society. Sometimes people make a living by doing things that aren't legal, mm-hmm. right? Let's say selling drugs. That was the main thing I did throughout my career, which is the, which almost every crime centers around.
Is drugs?
Yeah. The vast majority. Mm-hmm. So you have these guys and girls who sell this product that lawmakers say is illegal. And is it detrimental to society? Sure. Should it be part of society? Maybe, maybe not. I wouldn't go down that road. But what I do know is seeing some of those kids grow up, and I still talk to some people to this day, mm-hmm. even post-retirement, they live a life completely different than you or I. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, but the one thing is it goes to show the difference between people is hair thin, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they do what they do, but if I'm sitting at Oscar's pub with them, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about everything but what they do or everything but what I do, right? Whether it's through sports, through families, because mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, you know, they've got wives, they got kids, they've yeah. got family. I mean, they're not necessarily bad people. Now, there is evil in Fort mm-hmm. Worth, and there is evil in this world, and there are people that the cops need to go after. But in Fort Worth, and I can only speak for Fort Worth, that was one of the experiences to where some of these people who were involved in this illegal activity, I got to know them, and I got to know them on a mm-hmm. quasi-personal level. And so you become their sounding board, right?
Yeah.
Which is,
it was like, it was an occupation for them essentially, right? It was a means to an end yeah. to provide for mm-hmm. their life, mm-hmm. their family's yeah. lives, whoever else they yeah. need to provide for.
Yeah.
Cause that's probably how they looked at it. I'm assuming, I don't know, most of the time or no. I'm like, they're not all bad. See,
they're not, they're not. I mean, but society's evolved too in a yeah. very short order. I don't know. I mean, that's
a hard one. Yeah, it's a hard one. That's a whole, like, everyone is born into certain circumstances and everyone's really just trying to survive at the end of the day. And like you said, you're kind of there to
exactly
help
right.
provide order in this world. Yeah. And, it's a very honorable trade. And it's not easy, I'm sure.
No, because some, like you were just saying, it's sometimes people are dealt the hand they're dealt.
And like you said, these are real stories and these are real people that somebody died or somebody was a victim of domestic abuse. And so mm-hmm. I love that you guys are, rather than making it and sensationalizing it, mm-hmm. right. making it more like educational, because I know that like domestic abuse, for example, that happens in every part of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's, that happens 100%. In every class of society, I feel like. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter if, you know,
yeah.
you have no means or if you have all the means in the world.
Well, and I think, you know, and that's one of the seldom talked about things when you look at crime is like, you know, that socioeconomic impact and how, because the truth of the matter is the same crimes happen regardless of the neighborhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, yeah, I mean, and again, going back to Signal 51, I think that's one of the things that we're trying to drive home is we're not just here to scare people. We're not here to sensationalize crime.
Right.
I mean, there are stories because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, it's cliche, don't get me wrong, but like if it helps one person, mm-hmm. then we come out winners. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's the goal. And you know, hopefully, you know, through that and, you know, that will be the outcome. That's what we're working towards.
And you might have mentioned this in the beginning, but why Signal 51 again?
I didn't mention that. Sorry. So,
okay.
We were, So as we go through the stories, as we go through all these cases in the early phases, we're like, man, these investigations are great. And we just kept saying that term investigation. And we're like, well, what do we call the podcast? Like Fort Worth Crime Stories or something? We don't know what to call it. And I was like, wait a second. So Signal 51 is a radio code, the police radio code in Fort Worth for an investigation.
Okay.
So if somebody's going to an investigation call, they go on a Signal 51.
Great name.
Yes. Yeah. Great, great name. And again, I know you guys just started, released your first episode, but potentially we'll be releasing an episode hopefully every week.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Again, the one thing is like we peel back that one layer and there's 10 more. And if we can get to the point, I think personally, to where we're comfortable, maybe if we get to a point where we're comfortable and not asking so many questions, yeah, we might be able to get there.
Yeah.
So
where do people find you to listen and watch? Is it video as well?
No, right now it's just audio.
Okay.
We've done a couple, well, I guess we've done one video touching on the Uvalde shooting. We did do that. Just kind of my perspective, just because it was raw and, you know, it was something that everybody was talking about. And
I did see that put out. That was neat.
So we're on all of the podcast platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram.
And they just search Signal 51.
Signal 51 Chronicles.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. You can get that on all your platforms. Okay, but before we sign off, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Now that you've sat with Lizzie and I, we're all having a drink together, who do you think is more likely to commit a crime?
I know the answer to this.
Going right over there.
Yeah.
I'm really going right over there.
I was
going
to say Kirby.
No.
I do. No, I too expected. Like, they're like, yeah, she'd do it. She's the crazy.
The seed was planted, though, you know?
Yeah,
so.
That's what I'm saying. You got to watch out
you're,
for those.
No, you're silent. You got to watch out for the silent
over there.
I'm asking all the questions. I'll be the getaway car. So typically, that's I think I would help you get out of the crime then. So we'd both be convicted.
That's good.
Okay, well, this was great. Thank you so much
for
joining us.
Was it? I mean, just me
chiming in,
committing crimes.
Lizzie committing crimes. Don't worry. Again, episode 4, we'll find out all about what Lizzie did. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you for coming on. It's great to finally meet you and look forward to listening.
Yeah, so everybody tune in. It's a great show, especially if you're in the DFW area. But again, everyone loves to, I like how you said it though, you're not sensationalizing these stories. They're real people, they're real stories. It happened, and hopefully everybody can take something from it, learn something from it, and pass it along. Again, thanks for joining us this week on Curb Appeal.